Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, and the first seven verses, Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. But we will sing first from Psalter 263, stanzas 1 and 2, unto God our Savior. Sing a joyful song, wondrous are his doings, for his arm is strong. 1 and 2 of
Chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Braden Grisnick, who is still in the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, it is in this morning hour of this weekday that we may gather together in thy house. And thou knowest the purpose wherefore that we are assembled. And when we appear in this morning hour before thy face, then it is in commemoration of that great event which has taken place already now so many years ago, and which in the midst of the world in which we dwell, there is much commemoration, a celebration, much joy that is according to the world. But could it please thee also to give that joy that is according to thy Holy Spirit, that we ourselves may not be taken up with the service of this world, that we may not joy in their joy, that we may not bow to their idols, that we may not serve their gods. But Lord, then in this morning hour, then we stand in need of thy blessing. And we stand in need of thy Holy Spirit. For weeks already, then we have been considering a people who have a need. And Lord, that it may be also in this morning hour, and that need that is living in the heart of many in our midst, that is not what we can give unto ourselves. And the devil, he goes about both as a roaring lion and as an angel of light, to draw men away from thoughts of eternity and of death and of thy judgment seat, to draw men away from the fear of thee, that we would remain upon that broad way upon which we are traveling as we have been born, and that so to our great eternal surprise and consternation, we would fall in that moment of our death into that eternal abyss where hope will never come. O Lord, it is a day wherein we may consider the giving forth of thine only begotten Son, that thou hast given him even into this world for the sake of giving his own life. Lord, and that gift of the Father that is unfathomable unto thy children, but also the giving of himself, that he was so willing to become a worm and no man, when he has left that place of his glory to hide that glory and that divinity behind that veil of his humanity, and to come so low in the form of a servant, and that for the sake of those who deserve to be utterly cast away from thy presence, and that forever and forever. O Lord, it is a wonder that cannot be comprehended, that will take an eternity for thy church to glorify thy name. Wilt thou give the beginning of it here upon this world, even that thy church may joy even in this day, as they that divide the spoil. Wilt thou give unto those for whom the enemy is too strong, in this morning and in this day, a little sight to see thee. Oh, that thou wouldst reveal thyself, O Lord, unto those who stand so afar off and who are not able to bring themselves nigh, who with a longing soul that is given by thee, desire to be included with that favor where thou blessest all thy people, but do not know how to take the first step. Lord, thy spirit does draw, but they do not understand. Oh, then they feel that life, they experience that life within, yet they cannot speak of it. Then they are not able to acknowledge that it is the working of thy Holy Spirit, as so much that is hidden from them, but there is also so much that is revealed unto them. O Lord, thou openest unto them their sin, thou givest them to see the wretchedness and the sinfulness. O thou openest unto them that gulf that is between thee and their soul. Thou showest unto them the cause. Thou showest unto them their creation, that image in which they have been made by thee, and that deep fall. Oh, thou givest unto them a heart to mourn. And yet, Lord, yet that way to return, though it is a living in the desire of their heart, yet it is so hidden unto them, unless and until that day does arrive, that thou wilt reveal it unto their soul. Then they will speak of that child. Then they shall sing of that child. For thou dost exalt her that is of low degree. O Lord, thou fillest the hungry with good things, and thou sendest the rich away empty. Could it please thee to give them to experience it also in this very day, that day that is set aside by men, that we may commemorate this great event, that it may yet be blessed and sanctified by thee, that there may be mourners in Zion also in the midst of us, that may taste a little bit of that joy that is from thee. Lord, remember each and every one of them when the struggle that is too great for them, when the battle that is too heavy, when they are not able to come against that great company that comes against them, no might and no power to conquer sin. Lord, then the battle is too strong for them. It is with a confused noise, and the garments, they are rolled in blood. But could it please thee in this morning to show something, that this is with a burning and with fuel of fire? Oh, that thou wouldst devour all the devices of the enemy, and wilt thou open something of that victory that thou hast given in and through thine only begotten Son? Oh, he has put away all the devices of the devil. He has bruised his head, There is no power anymore. Sin shall have no more dominion over them. Oh, give them, Lord, then a sight to see, even from the pit, a little ray in the darkness, that those that walk in darkness may see a great light, and that thou wouldst deliver all the needy ones. Remember those that are not able to be with us in this day, the child that is in the hospital. Lord, thou knowest all his affliction. A man can be so confused. And the doctors, when they do not know, yet thou knowest, O Lord, and thou art able to give them wisdom and insight and all that is necessary also for this child. Oh, could it please thee then to bless the means to his recovery and give him to be able to come up with us again? And wilt thou give him also in this day a blessing in the place where he is with those who love him? Remember the parents, strengthen them also in all the trials that thou bringest upon them in this life. And all the children also that do suffer, and the older ones, remember those that are sick. Be with those that are old, those that do mourn, those that have laid a brother in the grave in the day of yesterday. Thou knowest also them, and the calling that comes unto them and us together. Lord, wilt thou give that it may be sanctified in the midst of us as a congregation, that we may be taught to number our days, that we may be given eyes to behold and a heart to believe, that we also are going the way of all the earth, and that the need for that child that was born in Bethlehem's manger, and that it may be felt also in this morning hour. Remember all that do bring thy word. All thy sent servants, wilt thou help them in this day. Give thy word free course, that it may go forth with much liberty, that there may be place and room to receive it also in the days in which we live. Send forth thy spirit in a rich measure also upon the mission field. The student in the theological school that may be here amongst us also in this day, wilt thou remember him and his wife and children also? Wilt thou give what is necessary in all the studies? Wilt thou be his instructor more and more from above, that we all together may be taught, that we also may be able to teach others? Lord, wilt thou help us also this day, in this morning hour, in this afternoon hour, him also that will go before. Lord, wilt thou give us strength from above? Oh, give us a little strength, Lord, in the weakness of our body. Thou knowest wherefore thou bringest also this affliction upon us. We cannot understand it. But Lord, it is thy way. Wilt thou help us in this morning? Wilt thou give unto us the strength that is necessary? And could it please thee to fill us with thy Holy Spirit? Oh, that it may be for this one or that one in this morning hour, for an eternal blessing, that it could be for the deliverance of those that are oppressed, and those that are not able to see the light. Give us freedom and liberty in the bringing of thy word. Do open it unto us, that we may know the meaning thereof, and that we may have the ability to bring it forth in a clear way, and that thy spirit may bring it in the heart of young and old together, that thou wouldst not leave us without a blessing, that we would not go here harder, from here harder than we have come in, but that we may leave with a broken and a contrite spirit, and that we there may be also those who may go out of this place, after they have come in as a lame man, that they may go out leaping and praising God. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offerings are being received, we'll sing from Psalter 198, stanzas 1, 2, 6, and 7. Let us sing also number 4, stanza 4, 1, 2, 4, 6, and 7. O God, be thy anointed Son, with truth and righteousness endowed, that justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud. 1, 2, 4, as gentle showers that cheer the earth, so he shall bring prosperity. 1, 2, 4, 6, and 7 of 198. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, the seventh verse. Luke 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So far, the words of our text. Our theme is the birthplace of the Son of God. First, a solemn warning. For because there was no room for them in the inn. Second, a blessed comfort, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. The birthplace of the Son of God. First, a solemn warning. Second, a blessed comfort. It is congregation Christmas, and our children, they know what that means, boys and girls, that the Lord Jesus, he is born upon the earth. What more significant event has taken place in the history of the whole world? What more well-known event is there in the whole world? What more miraculous event that God, he has come in the form of man, the incarnation of the deity. And what more precious event, what more necessary event, and that to be experienced, not only to be commemorated in the midst of the world, but to be experienced in our soul. What more liberating event can take place in the life of God's children? What event does give unto them more joy than when a Christ, he is born in their heart, necessary to know between the cradle and the grave? And yet, congregation, what event is celebrated with more superficiality in this world than the birth of the Son of God? With more ignorance, what event will be more to the condemnation of man throughout the whole world, and then a commemoration in an outward way of the birth of the Son of God, and then to have done this without meaning and without receiving the substance? What event will burn in the conscience of man in hell to all eternity, more than the commemoration of Christmas, which a man has done every year in his life, throughout his whole lifetime? And she brought forth her firstborn son. Who was that? That was Mary. That was according to what was told unto her, and thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son. Thus, In the first place, it was according to the promise of the Lord. The promise of the Lord, and that is that which cannot but be fulfilled. And there is not one word that he has spoken that will not come to pass. And every fulfillment that we may read in God's word of his promises, and that is another encouragement to God's children, that he is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent. That is according to his own decree. That is from that never begun eternity that he was given by the Father. When he has asked, who shall go for us? And that it was the Son who was willing, behold, here am I, send me. Thus, it is according to his decree. It is according to his promise. It is according also to the prophecies in the Word of God, even from the very beginning. And because, boys and girls, where do we first read of the incarnation of the Son of God? Well, we first read of him becoming a man in Genesis chapter 3. And there we read about the seed of the woman. Thus, that Savior, that Redeemer from sin, he shall be the seed of the woman. 4,000 years, and there was a people that have looked for this. 4,000 years, there was a people who have longed for the coming of this king, the coming of this redeemer, the coming of this savior. What kind of people were they? Well, we have heard something of who that they were. That is a people for whom that the battle is too strong, for the battle of the warrior. That is with a confused noise. And then there is a suspense. Then they do not know how that it is going to go. Every battle of the warrior, that is with garments rolled in blood. Thus that people, they are finding that enemy of sin too strong for them. And thus the prophecies, the promises, the decree, the word of the Lord, that is unto that people for their hope, for their expectation, that this shall be with burning and with fuel of fire, that the enemy's weapons, they shall be burned, that he shall take away all their power. Thus, a people that are looking 4,000 years, that are looking, that are waiting for that king to come who is more powerful than the enemy of sin, that is able to overcome it, that is able to conquer it. But as great as that event is, as significant that is as that event is, so inconspicuous it was, so unnoticed that it was, that it is taking place without all the fanfare that can be in this world, that it is taking place in such a plain way, in such a simple way, in such a humble way, that was also prophesied, because Isaiah has spoken also of his coming, and that he shall not cry, and he shall not lift up, and he shall not cause his voice to be heard in the streets. No, that was from the very beginning, even from his birth, and that we find his coming is as the dew. It is as the gentle showers that do water the earth. And now, congregation, so also must this child be born within the heart of each and every one of us. So we have heard it together. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And when it is never unto us in our life, and then all our commemorations of the birth of that child, they will sting us to all eternity. Thus, if he has never born inside, then congregation, then we are lost. And then we are lost forever and forever. And we want in a special way to consider this in this morning hour. Because he is not born in every heart. You say then he is born only in the hearts of those who hear his word. Well, that is true. Because there are millions and millions who never hear. And then there is no opportunity that a day he would be born, boys and girls, in the heart of them. Thus do we understand something of that privilege. That we are not receiving only gifts in this world, as millions are receiving in this morning hour. When there is no speaking by father and mother of who that Christ child is and why that we need him so much. When there is no bringing, boys and girls, of all those children to the house of God as so that they can hear what is necessary for their own soul. Oh, then what a privilege that we may receive from heaven above. Because he is only born in the hearts of those who may hear the word. But is he now born in the heart of everyone that hears? O congregation, there is a visible church, and there is also an invisible church. How will that now be for us? Or where shall we land as our eternal home? Oh no, he is not born in the heart of everyone that hears the word. But he is born in the heart of God's elect. Many are called, few are chosen. And yet what a responsibility is laying upon us. We hope to see that. And so it is so necessary for us to consider that place that he is born and the place that he is not born, that we consider how it was then, that we consider how it is now, because God is the same. He does not change. And the Lord has laid out for us in his word a very plain, a very beautiful picture. And it is on the one side a comfort, but it is on the other side a warning. You say a warning. A warning. But it is Christmas. Do we then have to receive a warning on the day of Christmas? Well, congregation, that is not from us. That is to us. and to you a very, very solemn warning that is contained in our text. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Thus, in the first place, we would like to ask, who is now directing the place where Christ should be born? That is not just a haphazard thing. That is not something that is just taking place by chance, that place that he is born. No, that is directed. By whom is that directed? Say, boys and girls, that is directed by Caesar. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Thus it is Caesar. Caesar is directing that place where the Lord Jesus was born. Is that so? Oh, I hear you say, no, no, that is not so. And then you are right. You are right. Because in the heart of Caesar Augustus, there is no knowledge. In the heart of Caesar Augustus, there is no desire. There is no plan. There is no motive concerning the place where the Lord Jesus shall be born. None of this. But Caesar's heart that is being directed. Do you believe that? That Caesar unknowingly, in the thoughts of his heart, he is being directed from above. Whose work is the incarnation? That is the work of the triune God. We read, a body hast thou prepared me. Thus, it is the work of the Father to prepare a body for Christ. In the second place, and we can read in the Gospel of John that the Word was made flesh. But in the original, actually, it says the Word became flesh. Thus, it was not only the work of the Father to prepare him a body, but it was the work even of the Son himself who became flesh, who became a man. In the third place, we can read that the Lord says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Thus, it is the work of the Holy Spirit, children. You know that he was conceived, we read, by the Holy Ghost. Thus, the incarnation, that is the work of the Father, it is the work of the Son, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit. But we have heard from Isaiah that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And we had no more time to go further. But you know what lies further. Then Isaiah says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. The government You know what government is? Children, we just heard that too a little more than a week ago from the catechism of Reverend Boer. And then he has spoken about the providence of God. And government, that is one of those three aspects of the providence of God. Not only that man is preserved in his being, and not only, secondly, the cooperation that the Lord gives, the strength for every movement, but also that direction, directing everything to a certain determinate end that is government, governing all things. And now what does Isaiah say? He says that that government, that shall be upon his shoulders. Thus the government that is upon the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is now for us impossible to understand, but it is Christ himself who is here the governor. And he is governing even that place where he shall come forth in this world. He has a much higher purpose than that which is temporal. And then it is necessary that he should govern it. Why? Well, it was 700 years before that Micah has also prophesied concerning the place of that birth. But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting. Thus, it is necessary that that government that be upon the shoulders of Christ, that he is directing everything, also what is in the heart of Caesar Augustus, in order that the decree of the Lord, that the promise of the Lord, that the prophecy of the Lord would all be fulfilled. And so we see them coming. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, and because he was of the house and lineage of David. The whole world, and that is moved at the bidding of Caesar. Is that right, boys and girls? Say, no, no, that is not right. The whole world that is moved at the bidding of the sovereign governor of the heavens and of the earth. The whole world that is moved at the bidding of Christ himself, the government that is upon his shoulders. And then it is all for the sake of this child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Oh, that day, that exact day, that hour that is directed. And there is nothing that is left to depend upon one single decision of man. No, it is the work of God from the very beginning unto the end. And there is nothing, congregation, and that is left to chance. And so they come to Bethlehem. What a marvel that must have been. A marvel to Mary and to Joseph. because they also knew those prophecies. They also knew what those promises were. But the circumstances, they were such that they were not able in a natural way to bring them about of their own accord. And now to see the Lord's hand in all that he does, even at the very last moment. And now these two God-fearing persons, they receive such a blessing. And what was the greatest blessing that they received? That was to wait. That was that there was nothing of their own mind and will, and there was nothing of their own hand that they did put forth for the accomplishment of the promise of the Lord. Do you hear it, people of the Lord? Nothing. Because when we put our hand in, then we spoil everything. Oh, do you think, do you really think that the Lord is not able to do as he has promised? Mary and Joseph, they received that blessed privilege only to follow. And so they come to Bethlehem, and what do we read? And there was no room for them in the inn. Oh, congregation, what a trial. Great with child. The days accomplished that she should be delivered, and no room in the inn. Thus, we do not say that that is such an easy way for God's children, that it does not go through a way of trial, and yet to follow. No room for them in the inn. And why not? Well, you say that inn was full. That was so natural because, of course, there are going to be very many people now. They are coming and they are going. And they must come to be enrolled, to be taxed. And so it is very natural that inn that is going to be full. So we should not be surprised that it says there that there was no room for them in the inn. Perhaps, congregation, that was so. And yet, it was no excuse. And why was that no excuse? Well, it was no excuse because of the circumstances. It was no excuse because of the need. Who now, in all that inn, was more in need than Mary? Great with child, and the days accomplished, and that she should be delivered. But do you know what Solomon has written already long ago? He says, the poor is hated, even of his own neighbor. But the rich has many friends. It is no different in this land, the land of God's own children, than it was already many years ago when the Lord had to complain of his children, and that they swallowed up the needy, and that they did not care for the poor, and that they did not do justice, that they did not do judgment. No, how was it with these people? O congregation, they were not ignorant of the Psalms of David. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. So often, the Lord, he has admonished his people, especially concerning the poor, because he says, I have brought you out of that land of Egypt, and there you lay in your poverty. And thus, when that stranger is come in, and then he is not to be despised by you. But how was it with these people? Oh, then they were wrapped up in their worldly affairs. And then they are looking for the gain of this world. They are looking to profit even from this enrollment of Caesar. So that there is a putting aside of that word of the Lord. So that we may follow after all the sinful inclinations of our own heart. Oh, that was so typical also of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ by that Jewish nation that was coming. We can read how that at the birth of John the Baptist, how that he has spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ because he says of his own son that thou shalt go before him to prepare his ways. And then we read that these sayings, they were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And then what was the expectation of that people? Oh, it is so natural to our fallen, wicked, and sinful hearts. Then they are looking for that which is earthly, which is temporal, but also that which is sinful, because they are looking for that which is high, that which is royal, that which is pompous, that is in this world, the glory of this world. And at the same time, there is a despising of the poor, and therefore the Lord Jesus Christ was so despised. Paul, he writes, I think it is to the Hebrews, that he says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unawares. No room for them in the inn. And our congregation, we wish to stop here for just a moment. No room for them in the inn. We want to consider that for a moment. And this morning, because that is such an important moment, who is standing there? Who is standing before that inn, even before the door, that is the King of Kings, that is the Lord of Lords, that is the Most High God, who is standing there before the door of this inn. He is not coming as he did on Sinai. No, congregation, it is a new dispensation. It is not the dispensation of the law. It is the dispensation of the gospel. That when he is standing there, that Most High God, before the door of that inn, then there is no lightning. There is no thunder. There is no earthquake. How is he there? He is there wrapped in humanity. He is there in the form of a servant. He is there in his meekness. He is there in great, great humility. And then he is standing there at that door of that inn. And he is not demanding. And he is not forcing himself. Nobody is asking. And he is beseeching for a place. Oh, he is before that door. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me." Oh, how tenderly, how lowly, how meekly he is standing there before that door. And what do we read? There was no room for them in the inn. Were there angry words then? Was there revenge then? No. Do you know what there was? There was just a quiet turning away. A quiet turning away. O congregation, think of this for just a moment. What that means. A quiet turning away. What a judgment. What a judgment. There was only one opportunity that he stood there knocking at that door. One opportunity. And then it was gone. Never again did he stand there. For just a moment, then he was standing there with his face toward that door. And when they said, "There is no room," and he turned to them his back. For just a moment, he was standing there asking if he may have a place, a little place. And then they said there was no room. And so he was not asking anymore. You say they did not realize what they were doing. They did not realize who he was. You are right. We don't either. We don't either. And yet their judgment was so just. And why? Because sin was standing at the door. Self-righteousness. And there was no fear of God before their eyes. Oh, how just, how just. When he has turned his back. And when he went away, then where did he go? We want to see that in our second thought after we sing 255, stanzas 3 and 4. To the Lord, such might revealing, let us come with reverence meet, and before our Maker kneeling, let us worship at his feet. He is our own God and leads us. We the people of his care. With a shepherd's hand he feeds us. As his flock in pastures fare, while he proffers peace and pardon. Let us hear his voice today. 3 and 4, 255. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Congregation, how great the meekness, the humility of the Son of God, when he is rejected, that he is willing to be born in a stable, that he is willing to be laid in a manger. There he lies, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the mighty God, the everlasting Savior, the King of Peace. Oh, congregation, you say, what a shame, what a shame. Oh, that he is made the lowest of all the human beings on the whole earth. That he has to lie with the beasts of the field. Oh, that is true. That is a great shame. But congregation, there is a people. They say, blessed be God. Blessed be God. And why? Oh, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts, they are very deep. And why? Because they are not able to come higher than a stable. They are not able to come higher than a manger. With all the efforts to make themselves clean and to put away the bosom sins, and then they have found it to be so impossible. And congregation then, and for that people who has to see and that there is no fruit from this tree henceforth forever, but from the crown of the head unto the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Oh, to have to lose the battle over and over again, until all my righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. Asaph, he says, I was as a beast before thee. As a beast before thee. Are there those also in our midst that cannot bring themselves above that stable, above that manger? And now to behold and that place that he was willing to give himself to be born. All that is the hope and that is the expectation of that people who have to live with the filth of their own heart. Oh, had been any other place than that manger, then how impossible that it had become for that people. It is a stumbling block to the Jew. It is foolishness unto the Greek. But it is the wonder of God to a wretched and a miserable sinner upon this world. To the shepherds, the angel, he said, this shall be a sign. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The Pharisees, they said, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? They did not understand it. They could not receive a congregation. Even though those shepherds, they had declared it in the midst of that Jewish people. Because we read of those shepherds that they made, spread abroad that saying that was told unto them concerning that child. Oh, what was it? How is it for God's children? Peter, he says, depart from me. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He could not see how that it was possible for him that the Lord Jesus would dwell with such a sinful man. The publican congregation, he dared not lift up his eyes unto heaven. Oh, is there a people that dare not lift up your eyes unto heaven? The centurion, he said, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. What did that prodigal say? He says, I am not worthy to be called thy son. And yet that desire, oh, yet that need, yet that cry, oh, make me as one of thy hired servants. Oh, may I have even the very, very lowest place, oh Lord, in that kingdom. Oh, do you understand it? Would you find congregation, that place, that people that are able to speak about the birth of that child? Would you want to be able to hear how that that child was born? Then it is necessary for you to look for that stable, because in the Lord he says, this shall be a sign unto you. And why? Because those two things, they fit together. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, the Son of Man, he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. From their sins. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. O congregation, how is it with us? How is it with us on this Christmas day? Is there then room for that child? Because in this day, then he is knocking. He is knocking. He is knocking upon the door in the preaching of the word in this morning, in the reading of the word in this afternoon. Then he is knocking and he is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. How is it? Is there room for him? Is there some work for him to do? Or is there only place in your heart this day? This day, we ask, not tomorrow. You say, I hope it will be different tomorrow. O congregation, how is it now this day? Because today he is knocking. But maybe tomorrow he is not knocking anymore. Or is there only place for the world? Is there only place for vanity? Is there only place for the riches of this world? Maybe there are those. They say, oh, I wish, how I wish that that child, that he could be born in my heart. Oh, that it could be said also, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, if only that it could be for me, but if I look in my heart, or if I look in my life, then I would have to say, I think it is impossible. It is impossible. Because I am not one of God's children. And my heart, that is wicked. It is wicked. It is sinful. It is evil. And I seek it not as I ought to seek it. Oh, if only I could know more what my sin is. Because I am so sure that it is so, so much greater than that I see it to be. Oh, if only
that I could affect my heart more with the exceeding sinfulness of sin, that I may see it more in the light of that holy God, that I would not so cleave unto all that is evil. Oh, if only my heart could be more upright, before that holy and the righteous God. But I am so hypocritical. Oh, if only I could rid myself of sin. Oh, then what? Then you would be worthy. Then he could do it for your sake. Oh, no, congregation. Oh, if you could rid it of all that iniquity and of all that unworthiness, then the stable that is gone, this shall be a sign unto you. This shall be a sign. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Congregation, today is a day of grace. Today is a day of salvation, and that child is knocking. Oh, that face is to us yet. It is to us yet. And if there is never room, he is going to turn away. We have so many privileges. Our opportunity is coming to an end. It's coming to an end. Soon that name that will no more be preached, be read among us. Soon. Then it will be finished. We have the example in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus pleaded, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee? As a hen does gather her chickens under her wings. How often? How many times have we heard of this child? And ye would not. And then he said, your house is left unto you desolate. And he turned away. Paul, when he preached, and then we can read that they blasphemed. And do you know what he said? He said, your blood is upon your own head. on your own head. I am clean. From henceforth I go unto the Gentiles. He turned away. The Lord Jesus, he told the parable of the great supper. There were those that were bidden. And they had every one their excuse. What is your excuse? They had every one their excuse. And that master was angry. He was angry. He had invited them. And then he says, not one of them that were bidden shall taste of my supper. He turned away. And he said to his servants, go in the streets, go in the lanes of the city, and bring in hither who? The poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind, that my house may be filled, may be filled. The poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind in that warfare against sin, against sin. Is that you? Are there such ones? And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Amen. O Lord, remember them, the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind, in the warfare against sin. Oh, bring them, Lord. Bring them a little light, a great light, in this day to see for whom that thou hast come. Oh, that they may rejoice in the birth of that child and in the laying of that child in that manger. And could it please thee also to bring home the warning that thou givest unto us no room in the inn, turning away. Oh, cause thy word to receive a place. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 431. 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. Unto God our King, joy and strength of Israel, lofty anthems sing, glorious are his ways. To his name give praise with the harp and timbrel. 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. Psalter 431.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.